of other gospel. The second temptation is the temptation of the law. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. May no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of the angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fresh mind. 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joint and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. 20. Therefore, if you die with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as thou living in the world, do you subject yourself to the regulations? 21. Do not touch, do not test, and do not handle. 22. Which are concerned things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Very few, but it still exists in nowadays. Once I was in a Chicago church, one day I answered the phone. A gentleman said, are your church is oneness? I say, yes, we believe one true God. And then he say, do you pray for the Holy Ghost? I answer, yes, we pray for the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. And then he say, do you have a dress code in your church? I answered, yes, we don't have the dress code, but our members are dressed properly. I said, do you have dress code in your church? I answer again, our brothers and sisters, when they attend the service, they attend the Sabbath, they dress properly. He asked, does your sisters dress the pants or long skirt? I know what does this gentleman want to ask. They still keep some regulations. Sister need to have the cover, sisters need to dress the long skirt, at least touch your need, and you ask, when do you perform your Holy Communion? I know he's going to emphasize only perform the Holy Communion on the day of Passover. So they feel some people, some Christians, they still observe some regulations, because they feel that is more spiritually. But in reality, it's not necessary like that. And actually, it's kind of the temptation. Number three, the temptation of the spirit. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4.
First John chapter 4, verse 1.
Verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God do not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we need to discern the spirit. Don't enter the temptation of spirit. There are so many religions, even the Christianity. Some of them also perform some kinds of things related to the spirit. So we need to pay attention. The fourth temptation. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1.
Verse 3.
First Timothy chapter 3 verse chapter 1 verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefather. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach, no other doctrine. For nor give heed to fable and the endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Paul sent Timothy to the church of Ephesus because they are some people they enter the temptation of they talking about the fables, they talking about the endless genealogies. So some kinds of philosophy, some kinds of theory, so and so forth, don't enter into this kind of temptation. Number 5, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. Verse 18. For when they speak greatest swearing words of emptiness, they allude through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who did error. We should not enter the temptation of lust. There are so many so many activities will stir up our lust. So we need to avoid it, otherwise we will enter the temptation of the lust. Number 6. Please turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 verse 22. Matthew chapter 13 verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitful of the riches choke the words and becomes unfruitful. Number 6, the temptation of money, the richness. Use the right way to earn the money. That is right. By God's grace, you run the you run your business lawful, and you earn the money. That is good. That is right. But you know what? When you have 1,000, you try to make it 10,000. If you have 10,000, you try to 100,000. So we need a control our desire to earn more money. We need in the future, you need to manage your time very, very strict. How many times I'm going to spend in family? How many times I'm going to spend in my work? How many times I'm going to spend in the kingdom of God? You need to manage it clearly and keep your principle. The easy way you sacrifice is your family time, your church time. Because you have good excuse. Because I love the family, I put my effort for the family. So you sacrifice the family time. For the church time, our boss is so good. God usually don't argue with you. So you just make a phone call to the general affair. I cannot make it. Hang the call. The general affair or the religious affair need to arrange for you to find someone to replace your task. So we are easy to sacrifice our family time and the church, the time for God. So we need to alert. So we need to watch and pray. So we can keep our principle. Number 7. The temptation of idol. The temptation of idol. The idol I mean modern idol. The modern idol. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. In many ways, we are easy to make idol for ourselves, even in the kingdom of God, even in the in the church. In the post time, the believers, they argued, I am of Paul, I am of Peter. Of course, even someone say, I am of Christ. That is right. We are belong to Christ. But their attitude, their intention, they compete. They compete their spirituality. You are of Paul. That's not good enough. I am of Christ. My spirituality is better than you. Why do we make idol for ourselves? Our pride. I have relationship with this certain person. So I'm better than you. So don't make idol for ourselves, and don't allow us to become an idol. The temptation of modern idol. The third main point in the book of Mark, that is the miracles. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. 32, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. 33, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Here I mentioned Jesus performed miracles. There are so many people got together to him. He had compassion to them. So he performed the miracles. He healed the various diseases. Even he cast out the demon. Chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 53. Chapter 6, verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to a land of Gennesaret, and the anchor there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garments, and as many as touched him were made well. So there are many people surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many poor person. They are suffered by their illness. As long as they have faith, even only they touch the hem of the garment of Lord Jesus Christ, they got healed. So Jesus performed so many miracles in his journey. So let's think about why did Jesus perform miracles? What are the purposes of miracles? The main purpose of Jesus to come to this world to fulfill the God, the salvation, to preach the gospel. However, we can find at least the book of Mark recorded 17 miracles. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Number one, Jesus want to show God's authority. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10. But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. So here, Jesus mentioned, I want to let you know, I come with the power, of God. I have the authority to forgive sins. So this is the evidence. So he allowed that political person got up and walk. So then people, because outwardly he is one of the Jews, but he is Messiah. So use the miracles, let people know his identity. John chapter 3. Let's also turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 2. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs and you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus, he's one of the counselors. He has the good conscience. He spoke with his conscience. Because he saw the miracles Lord Jesus has performed. He heard the message of Lord Jesus Christ. So he spoke with his conscience. You are a teacher come from God. No one can do this signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus, he confessed, you are different. God is with you, even you come from God. So in Jewish society, no matter the high status, the lower class, all of them, they have witnessed the miracles Lord Jesus has performed. So the Pharisees, the scribes, they rejected Lord Jesus Christ. They need to bear their responsibility. Because they also saw the miracles which Jesus had performed. John chapter 5 verse 36. John chapter 5 verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Lord Jesus Christ used the miracles to prove he was sent by the Father. So after the people, they saw the miracles, they experienced the miracles, they are easy to accept. Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ. When the time of, in the apostolic time, the apostles, they also performed the miracles. Because the miracles guide the Gentiles to believe in Jesus. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 18. Romans 15, verse 18. For I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. 19. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So how did Paul convert the Gentiles to Lord Jesus Christ? Beside the preach, beside the deed, Paul preached the gospel with the miracles, performed the signs, the miracles. So the miracles bear the witness of truth. When we preach the gospel according to the promise of Lord Jesus Christ, the miracles, the signs will follow
follow us. So
people can, after people saw, see the miracles, the people will also give the glory to God. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. After a person received the miracles, he was so exciting. So he mentioned he was praising God. The miracles also strengthen the faith of believers. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 12. Verse 12. And they brought the young man in alive. And they were not a little comforted. When Paul performed the miracles, the believers here say they were not a little comforted. They are edified. So not only in Jesus' time there were miracles. In apostolic time there were miracles. In the same way today they are miracles in among the believers in the church, because the miracles have several functions in the church. So the miracles will help to preach the gospel. We also need to ask the miracles happened among us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with the boldness they may speak your words. 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and the wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is the prayer of the apostles. They ask God, allow them to perform the signs, the wonders, the miracles among the people, because they preached the gospel. They preached Lord Jesus has resurrected from the dead. They need the evidence. So the signs, the wonders, the miracles offer them the evidence. So in the same token, we also need the miracles, signs, follow our preaching. So whenever the church council announces, let's pray for certain person, not just from this year in and this year out. Keep in your mind, you have so many times. How do you use your time? Take some time. Pray for the true seekers or members who are needed the mercy, the signs from God. The more miracles we have, the easier we can preach the gospel. So this is one of the issues we still need. I met many Christians mentioned the miracles has passed. The miracles only happened in the Old Testament time, in the apostolic time. Nowadays, there is no so-called miracles like the Bible. That's wrong. Lord Jesus promised, wherever we go, we preach the gospel, the miracles will follow us. So today is still the time we need the miracles. So in our prayer, pray for the miracles in the church. But one thing we also need to remind, a person who believes in Jesus because of miracles should pursue knowing the truth. The miracle is just a tool to guide the person to come to Jesus. The miracle itself is not the main point. It's a tool. The main point is the truth. The truth can save people. Some people, they came to Jesus because of the miracles. But this kind of person, we need to guide them into the truth. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 17. Chapter 8, verse 17. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened?" Verse 21. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Two times Jesus asked them, "Do you not understand?" The disciples, they saw many miracles, but they still didn't understand. So Jesus reminded them, you should understand the truth. So miracles is very important, but miracles is only a tool. The most important is the truth. You go to the doctor if you have some kind of illness. The doctor give you the prescription, or even doctor perform the surgery for you. After you get healed, in your mind, you remember this doctor. Even you still that kind of thanks to this doctor, but it's not necessary. You go back, right? You might sometimes visit that doctor, show your appreciate. You don't need to have any kind of relationship with that doctor. But for God, it's different. Lord Jesus is not just a doctor. Lord Jesus is God, is our Savior. If people only focus on miracles, then treat Jesus like a doctor. I have got healed, so I no longer need a Jesus. very few members. They left the church. Why? Because I don't have need. Lord Jesus has cured me. So I live my own life. Church, sometimes I visit. That is gone. So among the 17 miracles, I would like to share with you more detail. That is the Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 43. A dead girl and sick woman. Mark chapter 5 from verse 21 to 43. I will use the way characters analysis. Every event, every miracles supposed include some people. So we analysis this certain peoples. So we can learn from these people some good reflection or some good remind. And when we study the character, we also can get to know about the human nature, even the divine nature. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. Here a large crowd that gathered around Jesus while he was by the lake, verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Here comes a synagogue ruler. At that time, this is one of the higher position in Jewish society. This person, especially in the Sabbath day, this person decides who read scriptures, who is going to interpret the scriptures. I cannot say I'm Pastor Chen, so I want to interpret. No. I should get the permit from this person. So I can read the scriptures and interpret it. So the synagogue ruler has a high status in Jewish society. And here says he came and fell at Jesus. He fell in front of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is a carpenter. He came from Galilee. But this person came to him and knelt down in front of him because he had the needy. He cannot handle his business. He needs the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has the right attitude. Let's also refer Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Here also mentioned a person, he came and knelt down to Lord Jesus.
we should have this kind of attitude to make our request. And we also need to help our members or our friends when they come to ask mercy or ask the help from Lord Jesus Christ. We need to help them to build up this kind of attitude. Come and kneel down. Whenever I saw the truth seekers, if they were willingly kneel down, for sure, at least 50% to 60%, God will touch them. They will touch Lord Jesus. Because for some people, it's not easy to kneel down, even receive the lay hand. When I just became a full-time minister, maybe at that time I looked too young. Once an old gentleman come to church, that is an evangelical service, he also came to the front, kneel down and pray. When I went to him, I want to lay hand on him. He reject. And after that, he told me, I have humbled myself to kneel down. That is good enough. He didn't say you are a young man. He just say, that's good enough. So don't lay hand on me. So I think that only that time I saw him. Because he feel I knelt down is good enough. So some people, it's not easy have a right attitude toward Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Verse 23. And beggar him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. This is his proverb. His daughter got serious illness. So he came to Jesus. He prayed earnestly. He said, my little daughter is dying. From here, we also can see how great the most of the parents. He came to ask Jesus, not for his own body. He asked for his daughter. This is the love of parents. Once I visit a truth seeker, the truth seeker have some bamboo. We know the bamboo is empty, right? He put the bamboo on the coal to barbecue the bamboo. No. He tried to collect the juice come from bamboo. Because I think the Oriental doctor told him, if you want to help your son's illness, this is the way. Collect the bamboo juice to give your son. Could you imagine how much bamboo you can collect a half cup of the bamboo juice. He put one by one and shed the tear because the coal, the smoke of the coal. He did it for his son. This is the love of parents. I was so touched. So this kind of person need a gospel preached to that to that person. Lord Jesus Christ can help you. You don't need to do this kind of so tough task to help your son. So Jairus, he asked Jesus, say, please come and put your hand on her so that she will be healed and live. This is his expectation. You lay hand on her. You lay hand on her. But we know Lord Jesus Christ can use many ways to give us the grace. So we don't need other way for Jesus. We just use our sincere heart to pray and allow Jesus to do his work. From verse 25 to 34, here mentioned Jairus, he encountered he encountered the other events. It seems this event will interrupt the whole things. Let's pray in silence. Amen.